Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Katamita. I'm Yusuf.
And I'm Zuby.
And today we're going to be diving into a topic that might be unfamiliar to some of our listeners, Ramadan.
Or Ramzan.
Yeah. For those of you who are not familiar, Ramadan is a significant month observed by Muslims all around the world, marked by fasting, prayer, reflection, and community. But what exactly does Ramadan entail, and why is it so important?
So Ramadan, or Ramzan, as we called it growing up, is the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar. And so basically that's why you'll see different dates sometimes, is because it is based off of the lunar calendar, and some will scientifically calculate that and some will actually look for the moon. And so what this does is, during this ninth month, it holds immense spiritual significance for Muslims. And in that time, there's heightened devotion and discipline and connection with one's faith. And often you'll see that through fasting. The biggest part of the reason why this ninth month is so important is because it is when the Quran was
revealed
to our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
So during Ramadan, as we've mentioned before, and what you might already know about it, is that Muslims fast from dawn until sunset, abstaining from food, drinks, smoking, and certain other activities, particularly vices. This fasting isn't merely about abstaining from physical nourishment. It's also a way to cultivate self-discipline, or to make sure you're really empathizing with those that are less fortunate than you, and to grow spiritually. So it's a great time to reflect, to repent, or seek closeness to your faith or to God.
Yeah, but it's good to know that not everybody has to fast. It is one of the pillars of Islam, but there are some people that are exempt from fasting. And so that includes prepubescent children. Although if children want to, sometimes they want to participate in, you know, the festivities and the community part of it. And so sometimes they'll do like a half day fast or like a little fast, but they are absolutely not required to do a full day fast. Because at its core, God does not want this to be unhealthy or an over, you know, burdensome process for somebody.
Definitely.
So that also would include elderly that are very frail. We wouldn't want them to be fasting. Pregnant, nursing, or menstruating women should not be fasting. And also people with chronic diseases. So, for example, our dad, he didn't fast because he had diabetes. And so it wouldn't have been healthy for him to fast. So instead, he gave something called fidya, which is like a monetary compensation instead, to like poor people. And also, if you're not fasting, you can help support the people in your household that are fasting.
Definitely. Another exemption is if you're traveling. In Urdu, the word for traveling is safar. And so I always used to say, we're suffering when we're traveling. So if you are suffering, you're not supposed to fast. And so to dive a little deeper into that, like travelers that are on a trip that exceeds a certain distance, let's say around close to 50 miles or 77 kilometers or so, are usually exempt from fasting. I mean, you can choose to fast while traveling, as long as it's not, you know, too burdensome, or you can also make up for missed fasts at a later time in the month or after the month.
Yeah, same for like if you are a menstruating woman, then, you know, those couple of days that you're fasting, you probably want to go ahead and make up for that after Ramzan is over. But Ramzan is more than just the fasting. I know that's the part that everybody talks about, but another big part of it is that there's really increased prayer and also recitation of the Holy Quran. So in that aspect, Muslims believe that their prayers are and their good deeds are multiplied, and also that God is more forgiving during this month. So one of the things that we say is that the gates to heaven are open during the month, and that the gates to hell are closed. So for us, how that sort of relates to us personally was that when our father passed away, of course it was very unfortunate, but I know for me personally, I had a little
comfort
in the fact that he happened to pass away in the first Friday, which is considered our holy day,
Sunday for Christians,
yes, or in the month of Ramadan. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we believe like, well, the gates to heaven are open. So he more easily had that
transition,
sort of guaranteed entry into heaven.
Definitely. Ramadan is kind of like an amplifier for your prayers, for your good deeds.
Yeah. So another thing that you may or may not have heard of that you might even see like on the calendar sometimes, which is funny because it's not like, I don't know if you can predict it, but in the last 10 days of Ramadan is called the Night of Power, which is Laylat al-Qadr. And that is when they say like an entire chapter of the Quran was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So that Night of Power is considered the holiest night of the Islamic calendar. And so they say that that was when, you know, the Quran was revealed. And it's, so we don't know exactly what day it's going to be other than that it's an odd numbered night in the last 10 days of Ramadan or Ramadan. And so during this time, you'll see people really sort of like hunker down and get really intense in their prayers and their worship and reading Quran, and really just asking for God's mercy and for his forgiveness. Because we feel like if you're worshiping and praying, whatever you ask for on this night, that your prayers are more likely to be answered.
Yeah. Another thing is that many, many Muslims try to read the entire Quran or reread the entire Quran during the month of Ramadan. And they also will often go to their masjid or their mosque and attend nightly prayers called Taraweeh or Taraweeah. This can mean that people are up pretty late at night and again have to wake up pretty early to fast the next day. So here, we're in North Carolina, and we stop eating around 6:30 a.m., although it's been getting a little earlier, say probably closer to 6:20 now, and then we can break our fast or start eating again around 7:45 p.m., as you can probably tell by looking at your weather app or anything like that, the day does tend to go longer as the month goes on, so your fasting time gets a little longer and longer.
Yeah, by the end of it, like, you start off at maybe, I don't know, 12 and a half hours. And by the end of the month, you're probably more towards 13 and a half hours of fasting.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's a little tricky because you kind of hope to be shorter and get a break. But I guess in a way, you're building your stamina.
For sure. And it is kind of funny to see, you know, because it's based on the lunar calendar, you know, Ramadan can be during different months.
Yeah,
and
so summertime is real rough.
Exactly. There's definitely been some harder fasting schedules, you know, some years than others.
Yeah. So another thing that like kind of comes up is when you're at work and you mention people are fasting, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Should I, you know, stop eating in front of you or whatever? And really, that's really kind when people say that and you don't necessarily have to. But that is really nice to think about, you know, how to support your friends and your coworkers during Ramadan. So some of the things I would suggest is like, if you don't have to eat in front of them, like don't, you know, but really if your social stuff is gathered around food, maybe think about rearranging some of that if it's possible. Like if you can have gatherings outside of that fasting time and it's not a huge burden, try to do that. Or maybe like have your social gatherings not be revolved around food. Again, if that's possible.
Or like offer to host an iftar for your fasting friend or something like that.
Yeah, that would be phenomenal if you do something like that. Also just understanding, like we're all a little, what's the word? Just low energy right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Like the energy is not there. The productivity, honestly, is probably not there. Like our brain's probably not as clear as it could be on, you know, fasting days as other days. So just give them a, you know, throw them a rope every now and then, offer them some assistance. And also feel free to participate in anything. If they invite you to go to an iftari or an iftar, if you feel comfortable, participate.
Definitely. It can be really sweet and nice to attend an iftar. For example, I emailed all the staff at my job just to say, you know, Ramadan Mubarak and let them know, you know, what Ramadan is about and how to be supportive of their coworkers or even their families that might be participating. So, for example, I pointed out that, you know, it's a long hours of fasting, and like some of your coworkers might be a little weary when they're picking up and putting down children all day and doing all these activities. I know for me, like, I sent out in the email, you know, please don't think we're offended if you eat in front of us, you know, do what you do. But for example, during lunchtime or snack time at work, oftentimes I will let like the other teachers take the lead at mealtime, and I'll kind of go sit on the couch or rest up or do other things around the classroom that
just take a physical break.
Exactly. Yeah. Just to not be like, I smell the food, you know, so yeah.
But so fasting is the thing that everybody sort of knows about Ramadan, but it's also a month of generosity and charity. So a big part of this is understanding to give to those in need. And so what we talked about with the fidya. So if you cannot fast, you should still pay a compensation. That's generally to pay for a poor person to be able to eat. So whether that's doing a financial donation or feeding the hungry physically or doing some type of kindness or volunteer service in their communities, this is really emphasized during the month of Ramadan to be compassionate and to give charity and have social responsibility, but also solidarity with the less fortunate. So that is how the fasting plays into it, is understanding what it is to be hungry and to be thirsty and to refrain and have that self-discipline, but also to really empathize with what that means.
For sure. And lastly, there's a huge communal aspect of Ramadan. It's a time for families and communities to come together, breaking their fast together with the iftar or the evening meal. And iftar gatherings are often really joyous occasions where friends, family, and neighbors are sharing in the blessings of the month and strengthening their bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood. And of course, that can be a little tricky when you're living in a more rural area further from your congregation. But I know, like, this takes me back to college, you know, fasting during college and law school was such a fun experience because, you know, when you did find your tribe of brown and Muslim friends, I mean, there were nights where we would just stay up all night eating until we had to stop, you know, and it was just such a blast to have a full community of people around you that understood it and were participating in it. And you know, really great people too, who, you know, we did used to go on Fridays and, you know, feed homeless folk downtown and stuff like that. So they really put their money where their mouth was in terms of, you know, showing up for the community and stuff like that. And it was great.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of why, you know, some people are like, well, why would you be happy or celebrating during this month? You're going to be miserable and fasting. But the celebration part of it is really that it's that community and getting together, which unfortunately I think was always really hard for me because I often just was living in places where there really wasn't that community. And so on the other part of it, it can be kind of lonely when you're that only the one fasting and there's nobody really to break your fast with or whatnot. And so that can be tricky. But, you know, let's get into some of our reflections or Ramadan reflections this year, because this year's, you know, as it is, anytime you lose somebody, the holidays afterwards can be a little tricky. And so this is our first Ramadan without both of our parents. And so Yusuf, how is this Ramadan different for you? What reflections have you had this year?
Well, I would say for me, like, I have a really interesting relationship with faith, period. And so as I've grown up, I often found that, like, I don't necessarily do Ramadan for purely, like, religious reasons, you know? And so what I always find interesting is that Islamic tradition and Islamic scripture and text can be really cool in how there's so many scientific concepts that weren't confirmed, like, with technology or with modern science until years later. So that can be things as simple as almost everything being made up of water, about, like, iron and meteorites, the orbit of the planets, when, like, two different seas meet and they divide because of the, you know, the density stratification or whatever you want to call it. So for me, I find that there's probably a higher level reason that, you know, I'm sure there's some research on and stuff like that, the benefits of fasting and whatnot.
Absolutely.
But I do think that there's probably some higher level benefits, foundational benefits to fasting for the month that, you know, is rooted in Islamic tradition that I think would benefit.
Scientific, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, if I would say that's true, that now we know that, and people are very into, you know, intermittent fasting, mm-hmm, for example.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And so there's definitely some data and scientific support behind fasting, mm-hmm, and that it can help your growth hormone. It can, I don't know if it would help increase the length of your telomeres, so possibly increasing the longevity of your life. Mm-hmm. So there definitely is some scientific support behind it. But also what's interesting, as you were talking about that, is how we break our fast often with water and a date.
Mm-hmm.
And the date is an interesting choice because it has, you get this just like nice burst of glucose immediately, mm-hmm, to you, and mm-hmm, fiber. And what's often recommended is like, don't like break your fast and then stuff yourself.
Right.
What's recommended is like, have some water, have a date, do your prayers,
mm-hmm,
and then slowly eat your meal.
Definitely.
You know, so there's always moderation taught in Islam.
Yeah. And as an extra fun fact, like, we also do the water and the date because it's extra blessings for us, because that's also how the Prophet used to break his fast, is with mm-hmm, peace be upon him, yep, is he used to break it with water and a date. So we find, or we believe that, you know, following closely in the Prophet's footsteps and doing what he did, you know, emulating his actions, are often good deeds as well, good blessings. And I think this year, again, like, I'm not really fasting for super religious reasons. I'm more so doing it in the memory of our parents. And like you mentioned, this is our first Ramadan without both our parents. And it's been weird living in mommy's house and, you know, her not being there,
yeah,
to kind of wake me up in the morning, or, yeah, you know, help me cook up a breakfast in time. Because, you know, when you're scrambling to cook it all by yourself,
yeah,
you know, right before the fast, you know, you often will run out of time, or,
yep,
you know, it can be rough when it's just you alone, especially when you're like an irresponsible 28-year-old like me. And
well,
so,
I mean, I'm 40 and I'm still struggling in the morning, so.
And so, you know, there is, I do miss having her in the morning. It makes it a lot easier to not be just like, boohoo, I'm tired,
yeah,
let me go back to bed, when,
yeah,
when you
somebody
know
to do somebody's that with.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes a huge difference. And like you were talking about with college, you know, I remember I had that, mm-hmm, in college. One of my roommates, you know, was Muslim, and so, oh my gosh, what a difference it made to, like, mm-hmm, have that one, even if it's one person to wake up with and do that with.
Yeah. And, you know, I generally miss her excitement for the month. You know, she was always so on top of it, and, you
reading
know,
Quran
exactly,
loudly,
making sure she was reading her Quran. And, you know, even if I wasn't reading it, you know, she would just want me to come sit next to her while she read it. And, like,
yeah,
you know, that's such a small, sweet thing that I guess never really, I kind of took for granted back then. Because, man, you know, like,
yeah,
what I wouldn't give to just, like, lay on her lap while she read Quran, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really just, I'm doing it this month to remember her, feel some closeness to her and my dad, and, you know, hope it brings her soul some level of pride, or, you know,
peace
that I'm doing it in her memory, and that it's a healthy thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, for me as well. I mean, this year, I really made it a priority to want to fast and participate. Honestly, in the last couple of years, I hadn't. But this year, I have been pretty gung-ho about it. I also knew that, like, it might be challenging since I hadn't done it before in a while. So I just kind of went in, like, low pressure, low threshold for, you know, baby stepping and seeing how it goes. And thank God, you know, I've actually been able to do pretty much, you know, most days. So that's been really good. I felt like if I went in with, like, a low pressure on myself,
right,
that it actually made it easier on, mm-hmm, myself. If I was like, it's all right, you just got a couple more hours to go. So that is, I mean, the main thing is I did it for my mom, you know, this year, and my parents. I just really am trying to get all my prayers in this year, even if I cheat a little bit and combine them. But I'm like, you know, if I could just do that and really put up all the prayers for my parents, but also for all of our friends and family that have things going on in their lives, because, you know, everybody's got something going on.
Definitely.
And I've just been praying for so many people that I really care about. And I hope that my prayers will just count a little bit extra. And then, you know, the state of the world is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another big thing is what I've been paying, you know, just praying a lot for is those that are suffering. There's a lot of people that are, you know, undergoing human rights abuses and that are victims right now of genocides and so much going on. And I feel like you can feel like, what can I do? There's nothing I can, you know, you feel helpless and hopeless, even already on top of everything going on in our personal lives. And this just gives me something that I feel like I can do, which
Definitely.
Is pray for people.
Definitely. I mean, there's so many, many, many people being starved right now in, you know, Palestine and around the world, actually. There's
Congo. Yeah. I mean, it's just terrible.
And so this is, you know, a small way that we can empathize with them and experience what they're experiencing on a much smaller and much more privileged scale.
Absolutely.
But to, you know, remind yourself that there are actual victims to the world suffering right now. And
and so what's 13 hours for us, you know?
Exactly.
Like, it's just, we have a safe place to eat, we have a safe place to break our fast, a safe place to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Our houses are here, you know, so there's a lot that we have to be grateful for and that we're so privileged about. And so you know, that's really what I've been praying for, is just thanking God for the things that I do have and asking for myself, for my children, for my brothers, for those that I love. And I just hope that some of those reach God. And I don't know, you know, sometimes it's hard during Ramzan. You know, people struggle with all the emotions that might come up, and all of that is okay. You know, you don't have to be this perfectly happy person during Ramzan, even though there might be celebrations and everybody's telling you to be happy.
Mm.
It's okay if you're sad and you're down and depressed. It's okay if you're grieving. You know, sometimes people make it sound like you're not religious enough or this or that. But I hope that nobody feels that way. I hope people mm-hmm. feel like this is one part of the puzzle. This is one tool and skill that you can do, is use your prayers and fast and reflect, but go still do your therapy, you know,
mm-hmm.
still talk to the people that you need to talk to.
Definitely.
Still do your journaling, still do all of the things that you need to do. So I just want to say that, because sometimes mm-hmm. people feel like this is the end all be all, and it's not.
I mean, take it at your pace, and do what you can, you know.
Yeah,
ultimately.
Absolutely. Do what you can. And I firmly believe that God knows your intentions,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to be
definitely
insane about it all.
All right. So we hope that we shed some light on the beautiful and profound tradition of Ramadan. We hope we offered some insights into its rituals, its significance, and the spirit of unity and devotion that defines the special time of year. Whether you're Muslim or non-Muslim, we invite you to join us on this journey of understanding and appreciation for the richness of Ramadan.
Ramadan Mubarak!
Ramadan Mubarak!
Bye.
See you next time!
Bye.